Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you with another edition of Phillies Today, coming to you on an off day, Thursday, following the Phillies losing 2-3 to the St. Louis Cardinals at Citizens Bank Park. Was an odd series just because of the rain delays and then, or not the rain delays, eventually a postponement of the second game and then having a doubleheader on Wednesday. But the Phillies dropped their first series, and I believe five series. They had won all of those prior, and it was one of those where, you know, you don't feel great after it. Obviously, you don't want to lose a series, but it felt like they were sort of due to have one of these series losses, and they did just that, losing their second series of the year against the St. Louis Cardinals, who are actually playing some pretty good baseball. You know, they had won eight straight going into Philadelphia, and then they end up taking 2-3 from the Phillies, who are playing some good baseball themselves. So, you know, good team they played out against in St. Louis, but could end up being potentially, you know, wild card matchup there, or they could end up taking the NL Central. We'll see. So, Phillies do drop 2-3, though. There was some good, there was some bad to take away from it. We will get into everything. We'll get into the starting pitching, which, for the most part, aside from Aaron Nola last night, has been a really, really strong point for this team this year. The lineup, which, again, has been off and on, as they usually are, and the bullpen we will get into as well before, as always, we get into our weekend preview, which has the Pirates coming into town 4-3 this weekend at Citizens Bank Park. So, getting all that, and I want to start with how I usually do, I feel like, and it's with this rotation. Now, I'll get into Aaron Nola and everything that sort of went wrong for him last night and if there's concern moving forward, but, you know, that whole the whole week prior to last night, this starting staff has just continuously found a way to keep this team in ball games, and it is just a remarkable tool to have, and it's why I think that I don't really worry about this Phillies team in terms of getting their way to the postseason and being able to at least get into the dance. Now, once they get there, we'll see. We'll see how consistent this lineup can be. We'll see what this bullpen looks like at the time. Again, we still have a lot of time towards the trade deadline. We have a lot of time after the trade deadline, before the postseason. So a lot can happen between then. But if there's something that I can feel really good about throughout the course of this entire thing here, it is the starting staff, because they're just on another level right now. Like, in terms of the consistency and what you're getting out of Wheeler, Sanchez, Lizardo, you know, even Ranger to start. We'll get into his last start, but he looked really good there. I think that's something that is just so critical to be able to lean on. And just, it feels like if this staff can stay healthy, they should have no problem getting 90 wins. So let's get into some individuals here. Sanchez, really, really good again. He pitched in the first game of the series. The Phillies did lose, but looked really good against St. Louis. I believe pitched seven innings, and is just his ability to mix up his slider with his changeup off of the fastball, I think, has just been really, really big for him over these last 2 years, and it's what got him that contract extension, which is looking really, really good for the Phillies right now. The fact that they have Chris Sanchez locked up on, what is it, $8 million a year over the next few years is one of those contracts where it's almost like how the Braves have done business with Albies and with Acuna and getting them done early so you can eventually reap the benefits and get a guy on a cheaper deal. Now, the Phillies tried to do that with Scott Kingery back in the day, and that didn't work, but it feels like they finally got one of those really good contracts with Christopher Sanchez here, and he's pitching like an absolute stud, like an all-star right now, so it's really good to see from Sanchez. The velocity is still up to 97, even 98 at times. And when he's able to play those two pitches, the changeup and the slider off of them, it makes hitters, you know, on both sides of the plate really uncomfortable. So really encouraged with what I'm seeing from Christopher Sanchez. Well, again, on both sides of the plate, it's not even like it's just him dominating left-handed hitters. Like, he's getting righties out at a really efficient rate as well. So that is good to see from Sanchez. And allowed his first home run, I think, in over a month, too. That ball that just snuck out to Mason Wynn the other night. So, or was it Mason Wynn? Or I forget who it was. Mason Wynn might have been the second one. But gives up his first home run in a while. So that is good to see there. And Zach Wheeler, I have to talk about. I know it was a little while ago. It was Sunday night now, and we're now, you know, at Friday and towards the end of the week. But I thought that Zach Wheeler start the other night in Cleveland was one of the best starts that we've seen from Zach Wheeler in quite some time. Like, he's been really good to start the year. I don't know if it's peak Zach Wheeler, but what we saw on Sunday in Cleveland was one of those really, really special outings from Zach Wheeler. And of course, they get the two Schwarber home runs, and that's all they needed. End up winning the game 3-0. And the way he was able to command his fastball and then play, you know, the sweeper off of it and then the cutter, and just the way he kind of got better as the game even went on, it was one of those Zach Wheeler performances where he's a guy who can throw 97, get up to 98. He typically saves that for the postseason, stays around 96 during the regular season. But the way he's been able to shift from being a power pitcher in his career to being a real pitcher's pitcher and being able to beat you in so many different ways, like, that's what makes Zach Wheeler so dominant, and that's what makes him such a special, you know, player. And I think from what we've seen from him over the course of, you know, last year into this year, and kind of encapsulated what we saw in Cleveland the other night, I think that he's on his way to being one of the all-time greats of this franchise. And that start on Sunday night was really, really fun to watch. And him being able to just get guys out in so many different ways is what's making him into this, you know, potential all-time great Philly here. So awesome, awesome outing from Zach Wheeler. Hopefully we'll see another one this weekend. But when he's going like that, man, it's just, he's one of those guys where even if there isn't a ton of offense in the game, he's really fun to watch. And that's how I felt about that game on Sunday. He is just a really, really special player, man. So great stuff from Wheeler, too. Want to talk about Lizardo also. I mean, I think he's fifth in F4 in baseball, which is pretty remarkable considering there are guys like Judge, Bobby Witt in there, and guys who are playing every day. And for Lizardo to be able to, it feels like at times, not have his best stuff. Like, two of the last three outings, I feel like he hasn't had, you know, the typical Lizardo command that we've seen in his first few outings this year. But the way he's able to sort of power through that, be able to, you know, pitch to guys in different ways where if the slider isn't going, he's able to command the fastball. He's able to command his changeup really well, and is able to, you know, sort of get guys out in different ways, sort of like I just talked about with Zach Wheeler. Like, him battling through that and still being able to keep his team in the ballgame is what, again, sort of is the theme of this staff. He's able to limit, minimize damage and being able to limit guys, you know, to base hits instead of long balls. That's sort of the key with this whole staff, and it's what Jesus Lizardo has been able to do so well. And he, obviously, if you're into WAR and you're into those kind of metrics, he's been incredibly valuable for this baseball team. And it's one of those trades where, you know, Dave Dombrowski, we like to crap on him for the offseason he had with not doing too much. But from what we've seen out of Jesus Lizardo right now, that is looking to be a really, really good trade. He's under contract for next year, so you don't have to worry about that. In the offseason, you can still have him at a cheap number next year. Like, I think it's everything you could have hoped for and more is what you're getting out of Jesus Lizardo right now. My only concern with him is always just his health. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Every time he's out there, it's almost like with Joel now. It's with Joel Embiid, when he's on the floor, you're just saying to yourself, do not get hurt. Please do not get hurt, because he is so fun to watch when he's on, and the way he's pitched so far this year, they need that throughout the course of the regular season. And if this staff is going to be as deep and as successful as we want them to be, you need Jesus Lizardo out there every fifth day. So great stuff from Lizardo right now. And the three of those guys have just been as solid as they come to begin the year. Like, I expected a few blow-up outings from maybe Sanchez or Lizardo. Wheeler, you know, is pretty steady as he typically is. But the three of those guys so far this year, man, have they been really consistent and fun to watch. So great stuff from the three of those guys. And Ranger, I thought, looked really good last weekend, too. Like, that start in Cleveland, he was finally, you know, velocity was up and more consistent. And I thought what's most important with Ranger and what kind of got him in that first start against the Diamondbacks is when he's in the middle of the plate. And he was much more on the corners in this outing. He was able to, you know, mix up his pitch as well. And I just think as long as, you know, he's not a guy who's ever going to beat you with power, with velocity. So as long as he's on the corners and he's locating those pitches and then playing his breaking stuff off of it, I think that's when you see a really successful Ranger Suarez. And that's exactly what we saw in Cleveland. He goes 7 innings, no runs, I think 1 or 2 hits against the Guardians there. And that is the Ranger Suarez that we saw in the first half of last year. And if you can get that guy on a somewhat regular basis, like, that adds a fourth incredible arm to what has been a really impressive starting pitching staff right now. So we'll see if Ranger can build off it this weekend. I really hope he does, because like Lizardo, like Wheeler, like I just mentioned with some of these guys, when he's going like that, he's really fun to watch. And there's a reason why Ranger Suarez turned into everyone's favorite player, it seemed like, in the first half of last year. So again, hopefully we see something similar to what we saw in Cleveland this weekend against the Pirates. And got to wrap up the starting pitching segment with our guy Knowles. And it wasn't good for Aaron Nola on Wednesday night. Got to say, it was rough to watch. And it almost felt like when he was coming off the mound there, I don't want to say he looked like he was laboring or he was like upset, but he looked like a guy who doesn't have confidence right now. And it's not that he doesn't have the velocity. I thought the velocity was actually there last night. He's throwing 93, which is, you know, pretty on par for what we expect from Aaron Nola. But it's more the fact that he was catching a lot of the plate. The breaking stuff, he couldn't really command it too well. And then when he had to, you know, get me over with a fastball, that's when the homers start to happen. And then, you know, 2 more homers last night. And, you know, he had a couple against the Guardians in his last start as well. And it's one of those things where, you know, the long ball is going to be something that obviously continues to bite him. And if he doesn't have the stuff to sort of get swings and misses on the breaking ball and his, you know, he has to start beating guys with fastballs, that's when I think Aaron Nola sort of gets in trouble. So I don't know where exactly they're going to go with this, because he had a couple nice outings before that Guardian start. The Sunday night game in Chicago, he was great, but doesn't have the great start against the Guardians. Lets up a couple homers, does the same thing last night, and ends up getting, you know, tagged for, I think it was 9 runs. And they're in a spot right now where they sort of have to figure out how they can get his confidence back and how they can get him going in the right direction.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Because I don't know if you can just keep throwing him out there every fifth day if he's struggling like this. It's obviously not at the Taiwan level, I think, that where Walker was last year, but he's at a spot right now where every time you throw him out there, you risk him, I guess, losing more and more confidence just because his stuff isn't there and it seems like he can't put it all together. So I don't know if it's something, you know, maybe a Phantom IL stint could fix, or maybe just him being able to sit down for a couple starts, get back up here and sort of, you know, restart, hit the reset button and figure things out. But they have some good guys pitching down in AAA right now. They have Taiwan Walker if they needed him to. Mick Abel has been actually really good for the Iron Pigs this year. I know I haven't been the biggest Mick Abel guy in the past, but I think he finally deserves a shot up here after he's pitched to, what, a little under a 3 ERA so far in Lehigh Valley this year. So I think they have some options there. And I don't think necessarily they go with the Phantom IL path here, but I think you have to do something. I don't know if you can just keep throwing Aaron Nola out every fifth day right now, because It looks rough, man. And last night was a game where they should have won. Like, they were up 5-1 in the third inning, and you expect Aaron Nola to be able to, you know, keep that lead and give you six innings, especially in a doubleheader after you use a lot of your best relievers in game one there. So was not great from Aaron Nola last night. Definitely a little concerned about him, I can't lie. So we'll see kind of how they navigate his next few starts and if maybe he does need a little bit of a rest and they try to hit the reset button on Aaron Nola. So that's where I'm at with the pitching staff. It's pretty, pretty good overall. Andrew Painter, I believe, tonight also makes his next start in Lehigh Valley, so that'll be worth monitoring. And just good stuff from the staff overall. And want to move on to the lineup here a little bit because I think this lineup is, it's funny, they sort of are the same thing every time I come on this podcast to where they'll have some great days. They'll be hitting just 1-9, and it seems like they sort of have things figured out. But then they have, you know, a couple outings like they did in the first game yesterday where they sort of struggle to put things together. And even in a couple of the Guardians wins there where it felt like there was, you know, more meat on the bone and that they could have manufactured some more runs. But there are some guys, you know, that are pretty hot right now. Schwarber, his on-base streak ends. Sad. I know. I was ready for him to, you know, have the Cal Ripken in the back of the truck going around the stadium after his streak. You know, maybe broke Mike Schmitz. I'm kidding. But I would love that streak for Schwarber. And unfortunately, it broke in game one of the Cardinal series. But in typical Kyle Schwarber fashion, it's an absolute bomb in the second game, which was cool to see. And I talked about Wheeler's performance on Sunday Night Baseball. How about Schwarber, man, with those two home runs? And he is something, man. Like, what a special player. And he just can't leave here no matter what. Like, I don't know what gets it done at this point. Every time I think I talk about the contract on here, it's more than what I thought it was previously. Like, if I was putting a contract in Kyle Schwarber's locker tomorrow, like if you told me you have to offer him an extension right now, he either takes it or leaves it. I'm probably offering 4 years, 110, 115. And I think that's a fair offer for him right now because he does seem like he's a guy who's getting better with age. And he's hit, 40-plus home runs or 35-plus home runs in each of his first few seasons as a Phil, and he's well on pace to do that again this year. Like, he is such a special player, and he's so important to this lineup because he is somebody that no matter how he's going, even if he's cold, he's still getting on base, and pitchers fear him at the end of the day. Like, that's the important thing. Like, he is a feared bat in that lineup, and while he's, you know, hit well in the fourth spot behind Bryce, and Bryce hasn't really held up his end of the bargain of the one being protected, but he's adjusted to being the cleanup hitter well. His RBIs are going to be up at the end of the year, and as somebody who is a Schwarber leadoff enthusiast, this guy can hit anywhere in the lineup. So he is a special, special player, and I'm so glad he's a Philly, and I want him to retire as a Philly. So please, Dave Dombrowski, get Kyle Schwarber back, and don't let him leave in free agency, because I will tell you, there are going to be teams lining up for Kyle Schwarber services this offseason, and rightfully so, because he has just been an absolutely awesome Philly, and he needs to stay in Philadelphia, that is for sure. So I just mentioned Bryce, and Bryce is still in this little cold streak here. He had a homer in Cleveland, which was big to see, but still kind of going through a little slumpy. Nick Sirianni style, shaved his head, sort of, I guess, is a little change up, and I'm worried about him, I can't lie, because it does feel like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, and a lot of the, you know, people around the Phillies have come out and said, including Rob Thompson, including Cole Hamels on WIP, and have said that it seems like Bryce is just putting a lot on himself right now. And I don't want this to be like a sympathy party for Bryce, because at the end of the day, he's a professional athlete. He's getting paid a lot of money. He's the leader of this team, and he has to figure it out. And I think he will. But at the same time, like, I don't know if he's ever felt more pressure in terms of winning it this year than he ever has before, because, you know, he's going to be, he's 32, going to be turning 33 during the postseason, God willing they get there. But I think that he's in a spot right now to where he needs to find a way to just be Bryce, and you can't really think about the postseason right now. And I understand that each of the last couple seasons, he's had really successful regular seasons, and you get to the postseason, he's performed well, but at the end, or ultimately in 23 and 24, he wasn't able to get the big hit to allow the Phillies to move on. But he's just in a weird spot right now, and I don't think it's something injury-related, because I think he's fine. I know people worry about his back issues from time to time. I just think he's in a weird headspace, and ultimately it's something that he's got to get out of himself. And we've seen it before. He's gotten off to rough starts, but once he gets into that, you know, 1 week hot stretch and he's seeing the ball well and he gets into a rhythm and is hitting the ball the opposite way and it's hitting doubles, I think we'll see the Bryce Harper that we're accustomed to. But I can't lie to you, a little worried about Bryce, but we'll see if he can hopefully get himself out of it, because it does seem like once he gets going, this lineup can even get to another level. Because I will mention one guy here, Trey Turner, been really, really good over this past, I guess, through the beginning of May now up to this point, like has been really, really good, has, I think, the third most hits in baseball since the start of the month, and, you know, has just been a really, you know, key bat in this lineup so far. And he has to be, because it does feel like as this lineup goes, or as Trey goes, this lineup goes sometimes. And they've talked about his approach this year and just being a different type of hitter. Rob Thompson went up to him and said, "We don't need you to be the 25 to 30 homer guy. We're okay with maybe, you know, 17, 18 homers and you hitting 300 and stealing a bunch of bases and, you know, wreaking havoc on the game in a bunch of different ways." And I think that's where you do maximize the abilities of Trey Turner. And I think it's been a really good sign that we've seen him make those adjustments over the course of this year. I think the Phillies are among the leaders in baseball and batting average. And Trey is, you know, one of the big culprits for that. And that's what a lot of people wanted coming into the season. So I do respect him being able to sort of take his approach and refine it a little bit. And he's been one of the Phillies' hottest hitters to, you know, into May here. And it really does feel like the Phillies lineup sort of goes as he goes. And it's been good, because the Phillies have been one of the hotter teams in baseball over the course of that time. So good to see from Trey. And the last guy I want to get to before I get to some bullpen thoughts here. Yeah, Alec Bohm's hitting over 250 now. And I know that he's still, the power isn't necessarily there, even though he did sneak one out last night to get a second homer on the year. Alec Bohm is batting over 250. And for a guy who started as poorly as he did and what felt like it might have been a lost season for him, and can you ever get anything for this guy if you wanted to trade him? Like, Alec Bohm has been a pretty valuable bat towards the end of this lineup. And I know there's been some talk. Is that, do you move him back up? Do you potentially, you know, get him back? I know Kepler's struggling. He seems like he can't buy a hit these days. Do you move him up over Kepler? I think you keep Alec Bohm right where he is. And I don't think you need to put any added pressure on Alec Bohm. Leave him down in the lineup. Let him cook down there. And I think that, you know, if he continues to raise his, you know, average the way he did, he probably be up to 280 or something around the All-Star break. So good to see Alec Bohm sort of getting his, you know, hitting back together. And if this offense is going to be, you know, at the peak of what we hope it is, Alec Bohm has to be a bat that contributes at points in this lineup. So want to get to the bullpen before I get into the Pirates preview. Couple notes. Jordan Romano, I'm thinking he might be back. Like, Jordan Romano has looked really good over the course of the past few games and had a phenomenal outing, maybe his best of the year, against the Cardinals in Game 1 yesterday. His slider was crisp, looked really impressive, and when his velocity's there and the slider's looking like that, he becomes a very dangerous pitcher, and he only really needs two pitches. So it's funny. Every time I look at his ERA, I'm like, it's creeping back down. It's back almost below 8, and considering it was at 15 at one point, it felt like 2 weeks ago, that's pretty good to see. So feeling really confident about Jordan Romano moving forward. I like him in the closer spot, which they've been doing, and they've been using Alvarado in the eighth inning, which is sort of how they went about it with Kimbrel in 2023, where Alvarado was primarily a setup guy, and they had Kimbrel as the closer. They're doing that sort of thing with Jordan Romano here. So I think that could be how it works moving forward. Alvarado's been great. Again, just been really consistent to start the year, so no issues with that. Strom's still struggling a little bit. I wonder if he's just being a little overworked at times, and I don't think he needs a Phantom IL or anything like that, but I think a couple days off here for Matt Strom, maybe they don't pitch him tomorrow, could be of use. So we'll be monitoring that throughout this next series. And Taiwan, still coming out of the bullpen. It seems like it's sort of an interesting experiment here, because I do think he could be a successful long man out of the bullpen, which could be valuable to the team. Like, he's gotten off to a really good start this year compared to what we were expecting, so that's good to see. But it does seem like he needs some sort of getting used to, and just the ramp up of being in the bullpen and deciding, you know, when to throw certain pitches and what different scenarios. And I think that he's a guy to where if they're leading in a game, and last night, like if the Phillies were up and you had Nola struggling like he did, you bring Taiwan in for a couple innings, I would have liked to have seen that probably earlier before Nola. You know, I know he only went 3 2/3, but before maybe that fourth inning, maybe you get Taiwan in there to pitch a little longer. I don't know. I just think it would be something that would be interesting to see if he can be sort of a long man that pitches more often than not if your starter is struggling there. But again, the rotation has been so good, you don't need that sometimes. So we'll continue to monitor bullpen Taiwan. And before we get out of here, want to give you the preview for the Pirates this weekend. Friday night, you've got Andrew Heaney facing off against Ranger. Andrew Heaney actually been pretty good for the Pirates this year, pitching with a 3.15 ERA, lefty on the mound, so we'd expect probably Weston Wilson in the lineup. Maybe he gets Sosa in there, too. We'll see about that. Weston Wilson actually been pretty good since coming back from his injury. Had a couple big pinch hits, it feels like. So wouldn't expect, would probably expect him or Sosa or both in the lineup tomorrow night. Saturday, you've got Wheeler versus Carmen Majewski, I think that's how you say it. Young guy making his ninth start of the year. Hasn't been great so far, pitching new a 5.2 ERA. So hopefully the Phillies with Zach Wheeler on the mound can get the win there. Feels like a matchup that is certainly in their favor. And then on Sunday, the big matchup of the weekend, one that's going to be really entertaining to watch, is you've got Christopher Sanchez going up against Paul Skenes. And I'm very excited to see Paul Skenes pitch against the Phillies. I believe it's his first time doing that. I think they've missed him the last year. So I would be very excited to watch Paul Skenes on Sunday against the Phillies there. And Chris Sanchez, you know, that's a big challenge for him too, because he has done a phenomenal job himself this year. So we'll see if he rises to the occasion against Paul Skenes there on Sunday. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening in. And until next week, for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. See you, everybody.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.